J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Well, there's a fever that you can't deny. Gotta get together with my friends to see my Redbirds fly on the TV or at the ballpark or on the radio in my truck. Me and Grandpa used to listen to Mike Shannon and Jack Buck. Yeah, I can feel it coming. One thing I know for sure.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Mike Schilt kept Matt Carpenter out of the lineup last night, and they won their first game in like 10 days. I'm just saying. How you doing, kids? It is the 15th of June, 2021, here at jcontheline.com, and you have today's podcast. We might have to, it pains me to say these words, we might have to give up on Eric Clapton. Tremendous musician, great legacy, years, decades and decades and decades in the business, giving us tremendous music, not just rock and roll, but also blues, and a tremendous songwriter, and song after song after song after song that he wrote or produced or just sang or performed on. But then a couple of years ago, we started hearing about comments that Eric Clapton has made on stage over the years that seem to be sort of bigoted, seem to be indicative of somebody who is intolerant on a lot of stuff that the rest of the world has sort of moved on. And now he's going out on tour again at the end of the pandemic, and he says he feels ostracized by his own family and friends because he has been anti-lockdown and against the COVID vaccine. Now, I don't talk a lot about this stuff on the podcast, but I certainly have a point of view, and if you ask me, I'll tell you, you're an idiot if you are an anti-vaxxer. I'm sorry, you're an idiot. And now you got these nurses who are going to lose their jobs because they won't get vaccinated, and you would think that if anybody sort of understood that you get a shot and there's no measles, you get a shot and there's no typhoid, you get a shot, there's no polio or smallpox, you get a shot, there's no mumps. I got bit by the neighbor's dog about 15 years ago. Get a tetanus shot, you're fine. Eric Clapton's medical background, well, he's been in the hospital a lot. He had a perforated ulcer back in, I want to say, 80 or 81. And he was on tour. It was at Minneapolis Hospital. And he ended up in the hospital up there for something like 6 months. He almost died from this. Apparently, a perforated ulcer is not something you want or need. So as much as over the years I have idolized Eric Clapton, I think I got to pull away from this. You know, you can't just have people, you know, you say one dumb thing, okay, you say two dumb things, and now you're starting to have problems, and he's got at least two. Courtney Love is after Trent Reznor's ass, I'll tell you that. She said, this is a quote, I've never seen so much systemic abuse of kids, girls as young as 12 by him and his crew, end quote. She claims she and the members of her band Hole all witnessed it, so whatever she saw must have happened a while ago. She also attacked Dave Grohl over Nirvana royalties, and she's just in a pissy mood. Spice Girls, all five of them, getting set to release their first new single in 14 years. I guess the question is, will anybody care? Does anybody care? Back to controversial musicians, Roger Waters from Pink Floyd and Mark Zuckerberg. Well, Roger called Mark one of the most powerful idiots in the world. End quote. He also revealed that he turned down an offer to use Pink Floyd's Another Brick in the Wall Part 2 to promote Facebook. Rob Riggle is a comedian, pops up on The Daily Show from time to time, the Fox NFL pregame show on Sundays during football season, and people like this guy because he is a former, was it a Marine? I just know that he was in some sort of branch of the military, I believe it was Marines, and I guess he saw some action in Afghanistan or something like that. You'd have to Google this for all the specific details. But then, you know, he gets out of that hellhole of a situation and says, I'm going to devote the rest of my life to comedy, so here we go. I don't find Rob Riggle that funny, but he's okay. I'll cut him a break, whatever the case may be. Well, if you think he faced serious peril in the military, try his estranged wife Tiffany bugging him, literally. Riggle has been staying in their smaller house since Tiffany filed for divorce last October, and Riggle says that at some point he noticed that she had knowledge of private conversations he'd been having from his home office. So he started saying things that were not true, and sure enough, Tiffany started repeating the bogus information. So he had the house swept for surveillance devices and found a spy camera in a smoke detector. The camera had a memory card with more than 10,000 videos, including one of Tiffany standing on a ladder installing it. Rob also claims Tiffany has stolen $28,000 from him and hacked into his Apple account and downloaded his emails, texts, contacts, and photos. Apparently, Rob Riggle, not in the intelligence end of the military. Oh, it was great seeing Stephen Colbert live with a studio audience last night. It was a lot of fun. Tonight, he's got Dr. Sanjay Gupta and Rita Moreno, Jimmy Fallon, Salma Hayek, Dr. Anthony Fauci, Owen Wilson, with Jimmy Kimmel. James Corden has California Governor Gavin Newsom. Wendy Williams on with Seth Meyers. Why? And Conan has Martin Short, as that situation is about to have completely run its course. Birthdays today, Neil Patrick Harris, 48, Leah Remini, 51, Ice Cube, 52, Courtney Cox, 57, Helen Hunt, 58. What is this, like an 80s fest? Julie Haggerty from Airplane, 66, Jim Belushi, as our 80s fest continues, 67, Steve Walsh of Kansas, 70, and Jim Varney. Ah, he was Ernest. You know what I mean, Vern? Know what I mean? He did the Leclede's gas commercials on TV in St. Louis for years and years and years. He didn't make it. He smoked like a chimney. He came into St. Louis once, and I was supposed to interview him. I come into this room, and I thought I was going to have a chest x-ray afterwards. Anyhow, it got him in 2000. Today would have been his birthday. I'm old enough to remember this, I'm ashamed to say. But in 1969, CBS said, I don't know, let's try it. And so they premiered Hee-Haw. The first guests, Loretta Lynn and Charlie Pride, the country music variety show, would stay on CBS for 3 years and then 17 more years in syndication. Hee-Haw. The television show that answered the question, is there any shame left in the world? Should I tell you what the answer is? I did. It's Hee-Haw. 45 years ago today, 1976. You'd say to yourself, well, was there a leak or something like that? But the first and only rained out game at the Houston Astrodome. And it had nothing to do with the roof. Heavy rains flooded the streets and the players couldn't get there. The umpires couldn't get there. And the fans and the workers and everybody else, they were like, we can't get there. And so they had to declare it a rainout on this date, 1976, 45 years ago today. And it was 7 years ago on this date in 2014 that Casey Kasem checked out at the age of 82. Scooby-Doo and American Top 40. Everybody, curse along if you know the words.
I'm in Los Angeles, so I've been saying all morning that, you know, I'm here in the studio of a very, very famous broadcaster. Here's the man himself.
Well, this is Casey Kasem, along with JC. The last time I was in St. Louis was for the David Letterman show.
Casey and I were on the Casino Queen doing a live shot, Pants Across America.
That Pants Across America. He does some dumb things.
I'm surprised to see you here this early in the morning. Are you getting ready to record your show?
Yeah, we're doing our special. We do three specials a year, counting down the year-end hits.
What do you think? You walk into work on a Monday morning and you see JC in your studio.
No, I just thought I was fired. That's all.
Thank you very much for coming by.
JC, what a pleasure.
Ha ha, I fooled you. You thought I was going to play the Get Down on the Phone thing. I'll play it for you some other time. Father's Day coming up in a couple of days. The website simplycodes.com looked at the Father's Day gifts people are searching for this year. They came up with one for each state. For example, a few states are looking for the traditional dad stuff. In Alabama, fishing gear. Arkansas, cologne. Massachusetts, beer gift boxes. Michigan, personalized mugs and t-shirts. Oklahoma, hot sauce. Rhode Island, books. And West Virginia, Birkenstocks. Other states are looking for less traditional dad gifts. Hawaii, cold-pressed juicers. In Indiana, they're searching for flavor-infusing water bottles. In New York, it's plants. In New Jersey, random colorful things, whatever the hell that means. And in New Mexico, rustic, manly jewelry. And then there's the oddball stuff. Dads in Connecticut are getting shorts with built-in underwear. In Idaho, pillows that look like sports jerseys. In Kansas, they're looking for some sort of pill that says here, a pill for limitless brain power, end quote. And in Maryland, George Washington memorabilia. Tennessee wants stuff from Cracker Barrel. In Utah, four-way volleyball sets. In Texas, luxury toothpicks. Two words I never thought I'd see together, side by side. And Virginia is looking for laser-engraved beef jerky. Nothing like reinforcing a cultural stereotype. Maybe Dad would like to get into the Girl Scout cookies. Well, there's a reserve. There is a surplus. And the pandemic has screwed up everything because a lot of Girl Scout troops couldn't do in-person sales during the COVID thing. So they ended up with a lot left over, and they didn't make as much money because of it. The bakeries that bake them are hanging on to about 12 million boxes, and only 3 million need to be sold or donated in the next few months. So they're asking people to check their local Girl Scout website to see if they're still taking orders. Or you can check out their Hometown Heroes program and buy cookies for frontline workers, which sounds like a nice idea. And then this doesn't. You know, things are getting better when we've hit the fun novelty product point of the pandemic, and I don't think anybody would have tried this 6 months ago, but a bakery in Japan now selling edible face masks that you can wear and then eat. Yuck! Each mask is a small circular loaf of sweetbread called melon pan with a crisscross pattern, so it sort of looks like you've got a big waffle strapped to your face. Now, there's a look that never goes out of style, huh? A pack of five costs $16, but it ships from Japan, so they're probably stale by the time you receive them. The company behind them claims they're not just a novelty product, though. They had them tested, and they claim that they work just as well as cloth masks. But if you eat it, wouldn't you also be eating any COVID particles that got on there? Come on! And as we saw in one episode of The Sopranos, when it's your birthday, Mom gives you a little something special. So it's got to be good news for Father's Day, too. And are you hiding any secret fantasies from your significant other that they don't know about? A new survey found one in three people who are in relationships have a kinky fantasy they haven't told their partner about. Here are the top 10 things people want to try. Doing it in public, 23% like that idea. Handcuffs and other forms of bondage, 22%. Role-playing, threesomes. It was a more popular answer for men than women, by the way. Number five, backdoor action, 18%. Tantric sex, spanking, phone sex, or doing it over Zoom, 15%. S&M gets 13%. Voyeurism, 12%. In general, men were more likely to say they want to spice things up, with 54% of the men saying yes, but 39% of women also want to. That's almost 40%. Come on. Happy Father's Day. Huh? Know what I mean? Huh? I love this thing because people believe stupid stuff. Do you think that adding salt to a pot of water keeps it from boiling faster? Well, it actually raises the water's boiling point. Here's a couple of more myths. things people still believe. Goldfish have a 3-second memory. Studies have shown they can actually remember things for months. A penny dropped from the Empire State Building could kill you. Well, it might hurt, but it's too light and it doesn't have enough mass to kill anybody. The color red sends bulls into a rage. Well, bulls can't see red. The capes matadors use are traditionally red just to hide the blood stains. Myth number 4, you should pee on a jellyfish sting. Well, that can actually make your sting worse. Vinegar and rubbing alcohol would probably help. Myth number 5, you get cramps if you go swimming less than 30 minutes after you eat. Well, the Mayo Clinic says there's no science behind that one, but it didn't come from nowhere. Doctors used to think a lot of blood had to be diverted to your gut to help with digestion, so you might get tired more fast and end up drowning or something, but it doesn't seem like anything to worry about. And you knew this was going on all along. You knew it. Scientists on board the International Space Station have determined sperm can survive in space. Now, my brain is just racing with imaginable scenarios as to how they did this, but let's just remember there's weightlessness in outer space.
Stand by for nocturnal emission.
Now, if you're saying, that's great, JC, I love ELO, would you be surprised to learn that is not the Electric Light Orchestra? That's Mr. Blue Sky, a tribute to the Electric Light Orchestra, and they are playing at the Powerplex Drive-In out by the St. Louis Mills Mall on Friday, July 2nd. It's the Powerplex Drive-In, and the mastermind behind the entire thing is St. Louis musician Jeff Faulkner. Now, maybe you were lucky enough to see their show at Del Mar Hall about 2 years ago, and they've only gotten better. And we welcome Jeff Faulkner now to the J.C. Corcoran podcast here at jconline.com. Jeff, thanks for being on. I understand this whole thing began when you took a trip to Chicago a couple of years ago.
I went up there and saw Jeff Lynne's ELO live, and had been thinking about dipping my toe into the tribute band market for, you know, about a year or so, and was just trying to find the right thing to do. And after I saw Jeff up there, I clinched my decision, definitely.
Why did you say to yourself, I think I want to get into the tribute band business? And were there other acts that you considered outside of ELO?
Yeah, you know, I think the main thing that attracted me to the tribute band market was just the fact that a lot of my friends were doing it and having a great time doing them. They were drawing pretty good crowds. It seems like St. Louis is like the tribute band capital of the country or something. But I had thought about doing a couple other ones. One that I was going to do was a Smashing Pumpkins tribute band.
Okay.
And we actually put it together and had a few rehearsals, and it was sounding really good. And I found out there was another Smashing Pumpkins tribute band in town. So one of the criteria was that, you know, if I was going to do one, it was going to be one that nobody else was doing, at least in St. Louis.
And you would think that it might be sort of intimidating. You know, this isn't exactly CCR music. It looks and it sounds very complicated. Is ELO's music difficult to perform?
Yeah, I had no idea what I was getting myself into. It is highly involved, and you know, Jeff Lynne just you know, we're trying to recreate this stuff exactly the way it is on the records, and Jeff Lynne is just notorious for like just overproducing everything. He's got 15-20 piece string ensembles going on some of this stuff, and complete vocal choirs and everything else. And so just getting those strings and that orchestration part of the music dialed in has been a challenge, but we've got it pretty close. It's not like doing a Green Day tribute, that's for sure.
Yeah, right. Now, my wife and I saw you guys at Del Mar Hall, I guess it was probably about 2 years ago, and I think that was one of your very early shows, wasn't it?
That was our second show.
Wow.
We've actually only done 6 shows so far. process with each show, you kind of take things from that show and kind of learn from it and carry it on to the next one. And our goal is to make every show different and to be adding things every show we do and just keep building it and building it and building it. Everything from what we're doing production wise with lighting and you know, we're bringing in like laser lights now, and the production has just grown immensely. Like the last two shows we've done at the pageant have been just unbelievable production wise. So, but we're trying to build on that and make it just get it bigger and bigger each time we do it.
So you have this idea to do the ELO tribute band thing, Mr. Blue Sky, and we'll give him the details here in just a couple of seconds. And you put the whole thing together. But when did you realize you actually had something?
The one deciding factor with carrying through with the idea was going to be how hard it was going to be to find players, especially the string players, because I know plenty of drummers and bass players and guitar players just from being around the St. Louis scene forever, but finding the string players was going to be tough because I knew no string players. I'm a rock and roll kid, you know, so I actually had a pretty easy time finding those. Everything fell into place like real quick. Then it's all a matter of getting into a room, playing together and seeing if you got something, and you know, that's kind of a luck of the draw kind of thing. But you know, we all got into crammed into my basement and started playing this stuff, and it was sounding great right from the get-go. Luckily we had that chemistry right from the start.
You do all this work and then they announce the show and it goes on the internet, it goes into the RFT and all these other places, and people start hearing about it. And then you sit back and you start hearing, hey, this thing is selling really well. Hey, we fucking sold out a show. What is going on here? I mean, that must have been very exciting.
The support and reaction that we've gotten so far has been awesome. I mean, we've done six shows. Every single one of them have sold out. That was a thing too. Like, when I started this thing, I was like, I loved ELO. I loved Jeff Lynne, and I didn't know how St. Louis was going to, I didn't know what the demand was for ELO in St. Louis, but apparently it's pretty high. We're fortunate and unfortunate in the fact that Jeff Lynne hasn't been to St. Louis since like the 80s.
Yeah, exactly.
We're kind of giving the people who haven't had a chance to see ELO live kind of the next best thing.
You talked about the difficulty, at least you thought was going to be difficult, a difficult time trying to find the string players, which brings us to the issue of Miss Abby Stahlschmidt. I may have to readjust myself in the chair several times here. I don't even know where to start. She's a model. She is beautiful. She is a superb violin player. And boy, does she strut on the stage. You want to talk about a commanding presence on stage. The confidence that this, and what is she, like 25 or something?
Right around there.
Yeah. And the confidence that she displays on stage. Talk about Abby just a little bit here.
You know, when we started this thing, we had one cello player, Brookman, and one violinist, Jesse Youngblood. And after doing the first show with just that, we realized real quick that we were going to need a second violin player. Sometimes these things just kind of take care of themselves, you know, like right when I had made the decision that I wanted to go out and find a second violin player, Abby got a hold of me. And said, hey, I would love to play with you guys. If, you know, I don't, and she wasn't sure if she could commit to being like a full-time member or whatever, because she's also like an international model and plays with a few other bands, like out of town. So she keeps a very busy schedule. So I was like, yeah, you know what? Like this thing only plays 3-4 times a year in town. So we can probably work around your schedule. It's worked out great.
Let's give a plug to the other band members, too, by name, so we don't slight anyone.
On bass, we've got a guy named Ben Moyer. He plays with me in a couple other bands as well. On drums, we have Steve Bunk, and Steve's been around for a real long time. He played with Trixie Delight for years. Dave Watkins plays guitar, and he's got a great singing voice as well. I mentioned Jake Brookman on cello and Jesse Youngblood on violin. And then we have Stephen Winter on keys, and a guy named Kyle Work on keys. And then Anna Hamilton is our female background vocalist. I think that's everybody.
Yeah, it better be, or you're going to hear about it. Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big group.
Yeah. All right, so Mr. Blue Sky, a tribute to the Electric Light Orchestra, Friday, July 2nd at the Powerplex Drive-In. Now, for people who have not been out there yet, and that would include an awful lot of the St. Louis audience, potential audience, how does this whole thing work? Because at first blush, it's like, huh? Wait a minute, you sit, but you can go in your car and... Like, how does this all work?
Yeah, so it's set up out at the St. Louis Mills Mall parking lot, and they set up a humongous drive-in movie screen, and there's a humongous stage and humongous sound and production and lights. And what they're doing is they're having a band play select weekends. The bands play from 7 to 8:30, and then that's followed by a drive-in movie. And they started doing this last year during the pandemic. There was literally nothing else you could do.
Right.
But even now, even though we're kind of coming, you know, out of the pandemic, places are opening back up, this is still a really cool, like, family-friendly event. You get a band, and then you get that drive-in experience, which I loved drive-ins when I was a kid, you know. But they've got a few different ticket ranges where you can pay for, like, $45 for a carload and do the drive-in type experience. They've also got single reserve tickets for like $15. And that's basically, you pay 15 bucks and it gets you into an area that's right in front of the stage. It's kind of a standing room only area. But I think you can bring in like chairs and stuff to sit. And then they have a couple different VIP party pad packages going on. Like, one includes drinks and one doesn't, but it you can kind of reserve one of those pads for like you and like 10 or 11 of your friends. But it's a really, really cool event. We did it last year and it was so much fun. You get, like I said, you get a band. I mean, if you're paying the, you know, $45 or the $15 or whatever, you're getting a band for an hour and a half, which we'll probably go a little over that, but and then you get a drive-in movie. You know, and then all the movies that are showing out there are great movies. They've got like drink tents set up. They got food trucks out there. They've got like a VIP tent you can hang out in for like the after party thing they got going on. So it's just a really cool, family friendly, fun event that like I said, is a great thing to experience, whether there's a pandemic going on or not.
What's the best way and the fastest way to get tickets, Jeff?
Best way is to go to driveinstl.com. That'll take you right to the ticket link.
Driveinstl.com. All right, Mr. Blue Sky, tribute to the Electric Light Orchestra, Friday, July 2nd at the Powerplex Drive-In again. Driveinstl.com. I am so geeked for this show. Yeah. I can't wait to see, again, you know, the last time I saw you guys was 2 years ago, and I know that you've only gotten better since then, and we're very, very excited about this show. I'm really, really looking forward to it, so we'll see everybody out Friday, July 2nd at the Powerplex Drive-In. Jeff, congrats. Thanks much.
All right, JC, thank you.
Love that guy, Jeff Faulkner. And again, driveinstl.com is how you get your tickets. This is Friday, July 2nd at the Powerplex Drive-In, food trucks, drink trucks, and a great night of music and entertainment, family-friendly, the whole thing again. Driveinstl.com, and we'll see you there on July 2nd. And that's it. Another J.C. Corcoran podcast is in the can. We publish at 7 a.m. every Monday through Friday. Please spread the word. And in the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran podcast.